Yes, he paid $9,000 for it. That's all I remember. He paid $9,000 for the land. Yeah, for the farm. And then Auntie Edna, I don't even know about that.
And do you remember what year he bought it? I think it says in here somewhere.
Probably
when he came back.
Yeah,
when he married your mom.
Just before he married mom, I think. Just when they married. Yeah, so I was born in 52, so I'm thinking either 50 or 51. 1907 is when we homesteaded this. And I know it was in, I know Grandpa came with, they came from the States. They moved into Edmonton. And they lived there for a while. He was a bricklayer. And then he bought this property out here because he wanted to raise his family on the farm. Mm-hmm. And I know an Indian called Gray. His last name was Gray.
Pierre Gray.
Pierre, yes. He showed them how to get here. And so then Grandpa during the summer built the house, or soddy, old shack, whatever, you know, the sod roof. And then they went in the fall. It took them, I'm not even sure that's written there too. They came with a wagon and a cow and some chickens and came and settled on the farm. And that was in December. And there was no snow that year. So that would have been 1907. There would have been no snow in December or November of 1907. Which I thought was kind of interesting, you know, that there was no snow, that they're out with a wagon, an open wagon, traveling. It took them several, obviously, days to get here. But right, like out here, there's five islands that I kayak around.
Yeah.
And there's one I didn't even know, I guess I call them an island. We have like Big Grass Island. Well, now it's mostly water. At one point, it was an actual island. Then when I went kayaking one day, I didn't even realize there was another little island that's just grass. Right beside the big island because from a distance, and I've snowshoed through there. But, you know, I don't, just some things you just don't pay attention until one day you go, oh, look, I didn't see that there before. Grandma was always so nice. Whenever we went over to visit, like when he had, when they actually had a house, and I don't think it's still there. Maybe one of them is. There was two houses, the old house. But anyway, whenever we'd go to visit, he always seemed so grouchy, you know, and I was actually afraid of him. That's all I remember. Cause he was a big man. He just like a big stocky and just not a very friendly. He didn't feel to me like a friendly man. He always seemed grouchy to me. And Dad was so opposite. I think of all the kids, Dad and Auntie Edna, cause they were the youngest, Dad and Auntie Edna were the only two that I thought were very happy and, you know, friendly, and I always felt welcome whenever I'd go visit Auntie Edna. But actually, we all went. I went to school at Darwell. My kids went to school at Darwell, and my grandkids are now going to school at Darwell. It's not. There used to be where Dad went. Well, where the older, it was called Hilltop School, and that was at Lake Isle, and that burnt, and then they rebuilt it, and that one burnt down, and they never rebuilt it. It's actually there are people that live down here called Rimmers. It's just up that road, and it was right at the top of the hill. Hence, they called it Hilltop School. They actually had a anniversary last year. I didn't even know about it, of the Hilltop School. They did a commemorative, they put up a plaque, a sign saying this is where the original Hilltop School was. And there was there's not many people that actually are left that went to it, but there were a few people there. And Shirley Sadamel gave me this little flag with the little thing that the pin that they wore. No, Gray. Well, Pierre Gray was an Indian, native. Right. Although that doesn't sound native to me.
He was Métis.
Oh, Métis, okay. Yeah. Yeah, right, half French, half. Yeah, that makes sense. And when I think a lot of the Latvians, there was a lot of more Latvians that came here and then they all kind of dispersed and went, you know, there wasn't very many that actually, like, I think we're probably the only ones that are still here from the original Latvians obviously because we were here first, or mm-hmm. Grandpa, not we. And then he...
You're speaking on behalf of the family.
I guess I am. And I am. And I haven't left, and I don't plan to until I'm gone. I just, you know, sometimes you just have a feeling, you know where you should be. Mm-hmm. And I've known that probably my whole life. I've known that I can never leave here. You know, this was a farm. And then, of course, you know, when Dad subdivided, well, he couldn't do it all. And he only had a little tractor. It was just a small farm. Most of his money was made from trapping.
Yeah.
Dad trapped. Mink ranching, trapping, selling, back in them days, you know, peddling of vegetables and meat and all that other stuff.
Whatever he could. Milk too.
Milk, eggs. Mom was selling eggs up until she died. Like, she still had chickens and was selling eggs to people. My customers would come to the greenhouse. There were some that would come just for the plants and go get her eggs from her. They even asked about it this year, and I'm like, no, there's no eggs this year. I remember delivering milk and cream. I remember when the creamery was still in Evansburg, and we would take a can of cream, and that money would buy groceries, and it would be like under $10. And you could go buy a whole bunch of groceries for like under $10. What can you buy for under $10 now? One item in your shopping bag. It's ridiculous. I remember buying a pop and chips for 25 cents. Ooh, that's like Magnolia is there, and it's about 5 kilometers, and Lake Isle is the other way, exactly 5 kilometers. Mostly Magnolia, but, you know, Lake Isle as well. Being this is called Lake Isle because it's Island, Lake of Islands. Mm-hmm. And then they just shortened it, I guess, to Lake Isle, the community of Lake Isle. Grandpa, why did he choose to, he just fell, apparently what I understand, he just fell in love with it. He heard about it, he got, like, he came and looked at it, and he knew this
was
where.
Well, according to everybody who's been out here, mm-hmm. they say it's just like Latvia.
Oh, that could be. Well, you know what?
The nature, you know, well, anybody who's been out to our place says it's like little Latvia.
Yeah. Well, that could be why.
That's exactly.
Does it say that anywhere on anything you've ever read that that's why? Did anyone ever tell you that about it?
Everybody who comes out here says that.
Oh, okay.
It's the first thing they would say.
Yeah.
This is just like at home.
Well, then they wouldn't know. Well, that's probably why it felt like home.
Yeah.
We went to Entwistle Church. Grandma made us go, and I just remember as a little girl, we used to go every Sunday to Entwistle Church, and just like Dad would drive us. Dad wouldn't go in. Dad didn't go to church. Grandma and us kids, and she would take us to church every Sunday.
Your
we
dad's
had to go.
Mom?
Mom's mom.
Your mom's mom.
Josephine Machulevich. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she would take. I remember
when you were little.
Yeah, just when we were little. Like when we always had to wear dresses and hats. I remember.
Because in later years, we drove her to church.
Well, probably you did.
Right.
Probably Dad got tired. To this day, I'm claustrophobic because when there'd be strangers come, she would lock Vicky and I in the closet. And we would, I remember all I could see was, that's why if I go into a little cubicle, I get panic. I feel panic. She would lock us in the closet and all we would see would be a little light at the top. And Vicky, I remember she'd be so scared. And sometimes we'd be there so long that Vicky would fall asleep. And then when the people would leave or she figured it was safe, she would let us out. Fear, she couldn't speak English. Strangers. For years, there was an underground root cellar that used to scare the bejeevers out of us. We would just see the door and it was so dark in there and we'd always be scared to go in there.
So this would be...
Well, I've been here. I'm 59, so I've been here from day one. I wouldn't say I've been farming since day one, but I don't do much more. I just do my greenhouse pretty much now. Chantel does the farm now. She's took over and the her kids, like my grandson Colton, they raise pigs now. They got exotic birds and pot-bellied pigs and they sell a few cows and chickens and eggs. And so they basically do the farm stuff and I just do my greenhouse stuff. And it's funny too because my mother loved flowers. She loved, and I always thought, you know, I was a late bloomer, and that's not making a joke, but I wasn't interested in flowers. I wanted to be a farmer. I wanted to, but you know what? I just suddenly, one day I decided I wanted I worked in a greenhouse, and I thought, this is what I want to do. I don't make any money at it, but I sure do have a lot of flowers. Hmm. I love flowers. Dad loved gardening too. Like, he loved the vegetable garden. Mom loved the flowers. And they used to have they used to have a dance every Friday at, well, more so as a teenager. You know what? We really didn't go anywhere. Dad never took us. I actually was very afraid of people because I was pretty, that's probably why I never left here either. We never really went anywhere. Dad never really took us anywhere. It wasn't until we were teenagers that we started going. Dad and Mom never went to any functions or dances that I remember. I remember Mom would go they would go to Edmonton. Mom and Dad would go to Edmonton, I guess, to buy groceries or whatever. And I remember her bringing back us these strawberry candies. They were like a marshmallow in the middle and then red, and they were shaped like strawberries, and I remember that was our treat. They would go to Edmonton, I don't know how often, but as far as social functions, Dad always was tired and no time, and
right.
But we started going out as teenagers because they used to have a Friday night dance at Darwell, and that's the first time I remember in fact I was telling Chantel, we went to get a load of bread for the pigs, you know, and then we would go to dances once a week at Fridays. And of course, we had to catch a ride because, I mean, we didn't drive. So yeah, we never really.
Your dad trapped.
Yeah.
Right. Which
meant
he was away a lot.
He
fished
all the time.
He was away a lot.
Yeah.
And then the farm bit.
Yeah.
And your mom gardened, and plus she had 5 kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
Quite a gap apart, right?
But you know what? And it's funny.
And this was all without any conveniences because she didn't have all the.
And she didn't drive.
And she didn't drive. Yeah. So you were basically here, and there was enough here to keep everybody busy.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't think I ever really You can't miss something you never had. Oh, yeah. I was very young. I remember I remember being at the funeral and only crying because everyone else was crying. I remember that so clearly. But anyway, no, I just remember, I remember it just as clear as if it happened yesterday. Vicky and I were standing there, they had these little fences around plots in them days. And I remember everyone was crying, and I'm thinking, maybe I should cry too. I remember thinking that. So I tried really hard to cry. Because I just always, you know, when you're 8 years old, you think you would know, but not even because I thought he was grumpy. It's just I never felt really any, I didn't know him well enough, I guess. And he was never home either. He would leave grandma to do the farm work while he went off. I hardly knew. And he would go up north to try. Oh my God, yes. My dad was, oh yes, there would be a pile of coyote carcasses right by the door. He would throw them over to this day I hate hunting and trapping. I swear there would be just a big pile piled up right by the, we'd go step out of the door of the house there and then right there'd be a big pile of carcasses. Oh yeah, the basement always, and the house sometimes he'd get some really raunchy ones. Oh my God, the whole house stunk. Or if he'd skin mink, he'd go across the lake and he'd skin mink for Freddie Welsh. Mm-hmm. Freddie Welsh had a mink farm, and Dad did too. But I remember the smell of mink, like just all those memories. Like, but Dad had the softest hands in the world from the mink oil. Yeah, he said just feel my hands. He'd smell so bad. I'd like, oh Dad, go away. You smell. But you know, it paid our bills, and he needed the money. I remember him selling it too. And I was like, I wish today he hadn't, but you know, he needed the money, and you do what you have to when you need money. That was all.
So that was quite a while ago that he. Oh, but who did he sell it to?
Sherwood McKenzie. Sherwood or Pinky, his name was.
You went to the Latvian church?
Yeah.
Is that the only Latvian thing you did?
Yeah. I don't remember going to it. I could have, but I don't remember going to any church. The only time I remember going to Edmonton would be go to visit Vicky and Paul when they lived. And I remember sitting in the back of the truck, because Dad would drive in the truck. There'd be a mattress in the back of the truck, and I remember people would wave. And I remember Paul feeling really embarrassed when we would drive in, like all these city or rednecks from the country, the back of the truck. Because, I mean, we only had a truck. So, you know, Mom and Dad in the front with probably the baby, like would be Ivy or Bob, and the rest of us in the back. All the way from Edmonton, and he only drove I didn't know Edmonton was only an hour away. I thought Edmonton was like 2.5 hours away. But I'll never go to Edmonton. That's too long of a drive. But Dad would only drive like 50 or 60 miles an hour or 40 miles, whatever. It took us forever. But no, I really don't.
No, but you were confirmed in the Latvian church.
Yeah,
Edmonton, but so you had to go in for classes.
When we were kids, I remember we used to go there all the time. And then to her place, to Ritovik's, to our, you know, over there for Ligua for many years. And then, I don't know why, I guess got married and you get busy and then you forget about it. Or I don't know why we stopped. And then just suddenly the last few years, I'm like, I really want to go there again. I really want to, because that's a part of my heritage. And I'm not sure why there was that gap. Well, maybe that was why. There you go. She used to even pull the plow. Like it's not like pulling it on sod or anything. A lot of the old farmers used to hook up their women to a harness. The land was already like
broken.
Plowed, broken, but she would, cause they didn't have a horse or like they had a cow. But I remember that story and I'm thinking, I wouldn't have done it, but I probably would have. I would remember Mom singing Latvian songs when we were growing up to her, just in the house. She, like, even up until she passed away, she had a whole bunch of different Latvian CDs. She would, every time you'd go to her house, it'd be on full blast. I guess that's where I get my putting music on really loud thing. Because she'd be putzing around outside, and she could hear the music from, and I could hear her singing. But I remember skunks. I used to raise skunks way out in the bush. I'm still not even sure why, that there used to be cages, and they would put skunks in them, live skunks. They used to trap live skunks. I don't even know why. I'm not even sure why. I can't imagine that they would sell skunks. But I remember where the cages were.
Birch sap is collected to make a drink. Do you remember drinking anything?
Yes.
Yeah. Tell me about that.
It's not as exciting as the organic pharmacist would have you think.
It's gross. And I never wonder. I often watch. It was disgusting. Nasty. Jack of all trades. He was. Right. He was very involved in maybe that's why he was grouchy. Maybe he was too busy. You know, he never had a spare time for it. He didn't even have time for his own family. Like, you know. He would leave for trapping, and then when he was home, he'd be doing all these other things. And he never, you know, I don't know what kind of a husband he was, because it doesn't sound like all he did was have kids and then leave them. He was instrumental in helping lots of people, so But he had little time left for his family, like, that I think, you know, I just, because she lived to be 100 and something, which I plan to live to be, if I could get over this arthritis. Grandma, great-grandma, and, no, they came all
together.
Yeah, they all came together. That's why I just, you know how you, I don't know if you've ever had gut feelings, but I just feel I'm going to live to be really old. I don't know why, it's just, I don't worry about things like other people do. Like, I don't... Yeah, I remember them. Waldy Deering. Yeah, there's another one I remember. I remember everyone being old.
No, but they didn't have kids. Do they have kids your age?
No, apparently not, or we would have probably hung out. I remember hanging out with Schnepps, like Elga and Harold.
Yeah,
I remember, like, a lot of the... There was a lot of Latvian parties out here. Mm-hmm. I remember lots of beer drinking and eating food.
They all came
here. I think a lot of people that he brought over, this was just a stopping place, and then they went on to other... Like, I know there was a fairly big Latvian community here for a while, but then I think they just eventually all either moved away or dispersed, or, like, the kids grew up in Paxes or Chucks, because they moved out here from Edmonton when Dad made that subdivision. And they bought that place in Rita, still there. I remember I probably the fastest fish filleter you could ever find. Dad would go put the net in, and we would clean fish. And it was partly, he sold them.
Your dad was one of the last few people who was allowed to fish by net, with nets.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He was lucky. He would haul them out.
Oh, yeah.
A ton, practically.
We would be,
we
did it at night, too. You did it at night, because we would haul in the net. I would row. You'd have to keep the net, to put it in, I'd have to keep the net tight, right?
Yeah.
Dad would put it in. And then I remember bringing it in and then pulling all the, he'd call them snags from the fish. And then we'd have to try to unsnag them. And then he would hang them up to dry. Mm-hmm. And then back into the lake, and we'd have to box it properly. The floats on one side, the lead weights on the other. And we used to eat fish. I just love fish. And I could fillet a fish just like that. I mean,
did he sell the fish?
Yeah, he sold fish. Yeah.
And I remember towards the end of when he was net fishing, people were wondering, is that still legal? Because it was...
I think sometimes it wasn't at the end when he did it, because that's probably why we did it in the dark. Pike, perch, pickerel, suckers, ling. And a lot of... All the suckers were fed to the mink. He used to grind them up with it looked like bran. It must have been bran. He used to get bags of it. He lived on deer and moose and elk and everything, anything that he could catch and hunt. Well, that's what the times were like. We used to eat, God, Mom made the best smoked fish and smoked duck and smoked goose you could ever, like, I just crave those things. They're so good. We ate, everything was Latvian, you know, speckeros and cerniki, and grew up with all the good Latvian foods, and half of the names that we used to pick mushrooms, and they were always Latvian names, like, they were kevapups when we were growing up, and yeah, just, we always ate ethnic. Mom played Latvian music. She would get us these Latvian shirts with the red pattern on it. She always knitted us Latvian design socks. When I got older, I loved wool socks, especially with a Latvian pattern. Actually, I put a couple pairs away just because I just don't want to wear them, because I'll never get another pair. So my kids, I used to send smoked fish to the school with the kids. The kids would fight him for it. Like, they'd have to eat it you could smell it, but everyone that ever tasted it wanted it. So they would take it to school, and they'd have to take extra for their friends. I actually went to the house and got Mom's rye bread box. I'm going to attempt when I'm off work, because I don't, with my job and trying to keep this place going there's no time, but in the winter I don't work. So I'm going to attempt making rye bread. I never ever wanted to learn how, because I just figured if I learned how, that would mean that Mom wouldn't make it. So Mom always made it, and she did such a good job. Speckeros, we're going to get together as a family and try to see if we can emulate her speckeros, because they're so good and we miss them. Yes, Grandma. Grandma never learned English except for Bogner Boy Go Home. That was some young guys that hung around when they were teenagers. And she didn't like any of the guys that hung around except for Gordy Satimo, which was the brother of my best friend. And he would come help Dad do stuff, and she would feed him, but everyone else would be like, she was always grumpy. They were actually afraid of her. And I remember getting so mad at her, and I'd be yelling at her, not yelling at her, but, like, you know, arguing with her in Polish, you know, to leave them alone. They're, you know, but, you know, Bogner Boy Go Home was about the only words in English she knew. So basically, yeah, actually, when I started school, I could not speak English. All I could speak was Latvian and Polish. I remember, again, that's another traumatic. I remember my first day of school was so traumatic. I was so scared. And if it wasn't for Lois Massey being in, I felt so sorry for her. She was in grade 8 at Darwell. And I spent more time clinging to her. And then she'd bring me back down to the grade one room. And then she'd sit with me for a while. And then she'd convince me that it was okay. And then 2 seconds later, I'd be running back upstairs to her room. And to this day, I still joke about it. You know how she says, "You were so scared," she said. I spoke Polish and Latvian so fluently. And now sometimes I dream in it. Every time I dream about Grandma, which isn't too often anymore, obviously, how could else I talk to her in any other language because she was Polish, but I'll be hearing myself in my dream talking to her in Polish.
I'm going to jump back to your Uncle John. Sanso, he says he partially flooded the land and populated it with beavers.
Yes.
Wow. He did that?
Yes.
And that was over there?
Yes. Don't ever tell anyone that our family brought the beaver here because I'll probably be dead. Oh, my God. When they come over, they were chopping some trees down along here last year. There must have been the young ones because they get chased away from the family. But you should go. When I walk over there, every time I go, there's a new tree chopped down. Alvin Sadamo, he's trapped, I don't know, 16 or 20 in the last year or two because there's so many. He liked them. Everyone has lots of beaver. My mother, who doesn't even leave the farm hardly, flew to Latvia. But she just wanted to go there once or twice before she died, and she did, which was great because she got to go there. Then the second year she went with my daughter. Mom's got a ton of amber jewelry. That old barn that's behind that, like when you drove up, it's the one that's falling down. I won't let anyone wreck it because to me it's a part of my heritage, and I'm going to let it die a slow death. It's part of that's the last old building left on the farm. It still looks fine to me. You can't go in it. It's falling in around our ears, but just the old, that old barn,
yeah,
is the only old original, because the barn that's there now is not a new one. It's 1970. Actually, we even put it in the cement. The old barn was right beside it. Mm-hmm. The old chicken house. Yeah, that's the original. Oh, and then there's another broken down. It's actually the roof finally. So all that's now is just a roof. That was the old mink house, and it's still sitting there. I don't know. Things like that you think you should clean up, but I'm of the opinion that they're a part of this farm and you can't clean everything up. Something should be left, and eventually probably they will be, but it won't be done by me. He married Mom. He was 39 and Mom was 19 when they got married. So he was a bachelor. We always say he hired her to clean his house and he figured it was cheaper to marry her than to pay her. So that's why we say he married her. We always made that joke. Yeah, he couldn't afford to pay her, so he figured he would marry her, and that way she would have to stay in clean house. And
her house was every weekend was a gathering station. Mm-hmm. For years, had a house. Oh. Everybody else was in a little rented basement things, and right, they were new to the city and just starting off. They didn't know anybody. They didn't have jobs. They didn't have. Some of them didn't have cars, so they had to bus together or carpool together. So they all, every weekend, whenever it was somebody's birthday or somebody's name day, like names days are more important than birthdays. Mm-hmm. And everybody would show up at Viola's house because she had a house and a living room.
And where was that?
In Edmonton.
Oh, okay.
And they would celebrate at her house. And in the summertime, it would be the same logic. People needed to get out of the city, and Edmonton was very small. And didn't have all these nicely developed parks that we have now. People would pile into cars and drive out here and sleep under the stars.
Yep.
And park. Yep. Because we had at our place with Alois and his buddies, they would be out every weekend partying as well. Oh. And driving, the road went through the Massey's. It wasn't just a path, it was a road.
Oh, I know.
That went through to the Massey's. And my mother finally got tired of it. So you've got part of these bachelors driving at 2 and 3 in the morning, singing and honking their horns when her kids are trying to sleep.
That sounds vaguely familiar.
My father that she wanted this to stop.
Your mother was a part of
not in that sense.
Thank you. anyway, first this tree fell across, basically blocking the only way in. And the psychic friend said that she saw a vortex. And she said that she had a feeling that this should not be disturbed. And you know what? Then later I agreed. And then one day, the day that Ken came to show me where the house was, on my camera I'm going to show it to you, is a picture of a vortex. I never took it. I don't even know how it got on my camera. It's just a picture of a vortex. And I told Chantel that when she told me that there was a vortex somewhere here on the farm. And where this vortex was, it was a circle. Sort of a circle. And then it should not be disturbed. So I don't know. Anyway, this is the first cottage. Yeah. Like, who had a cottage here? Well, this is where the first house was. And then Ken and he would know more about this.
So Ken grew up here. This is where Edna lived.
Yes. And this is where.
But your grandpa never lived here, did he?
Yes. This was the first house.
Your grandpa lived here. John Jones lived on this site.
And this is where the door was, because I remember the hole. I said, oh, there's a hole in front of the door.
And this is,
used to call it the Tornado Inn.
The Tornado Inn.
Tornado Inn, because apparently Auntie Edna said the kids would go in and out of the screen door so fast, it was like a tornado. And this is right here was where the entrance of the door was for the house. Mm-hmm. And there's only like one.
Do you have pictures of the house?
What house it was, and she said that's the Tornado Inn. I went, oh, okay. But anyway, this is the first concert. So this is where, and again, Ken would know, maybe Grandpa didn't live here. I don't know. You know, they could have been just where they live. Grandpa felt it. Grandpa never stayed anywhere very long. He was always off somewhere.
So he loved to get in.
He always left Grandpa somewhere, yeah.
So she